All right. Yeah, I'm just an old King James guy. So I'm reading the Bible through. I'm doing New Living Translation. So all these other translations, I just kind of pick and choose, NIV, whatever thing. So whatever works for you. But it is interesting. We were talking about today just how it's really fascinating to go through a different translation, and you're seeing some new things. that. In the word that just the way it's worded and just different things. So it's definitely a blessing to look at different translations and kind of how they view things. But amen. It's good just to be that consistent, just read your Bible every day. And it's, sometimes it's when somebody tells you, just read your Bible, and then you don't really know where to go. But it's nice to have that one-year Bible. It keeps you on track. You got a schedule every day. And it just keeps you plugging right along. So, amen. And it's really good to, when you read the Bible through, just how that changes you from point A to point B. So, yeah. All right. Well, tonight we're going to continue to talk about Help My Faith. And, like I said earlier, when Adrian and I, several years ago, got into, I don't want to say the word of faith message, but just kind of this faith message, when I listen to people, I think, boy, they've got it all together, and I've got to have all the answers. And, it's a growing. Jesus talks about, it's like a mustard seed. It's something that we develop over time. And sometimes when you listen to preachers and you listen to ministers, they talk about amazing things. And, of course, I know as a baby Christian, God did amazing things for me. But it kind of sounds like you have to have everything together. And we're just here to use what we have, right? Wherever we're at in our walk with Jesus, we're going to continue on. And we had talked about Mark chapter 9, 17. And I'm just going to kind of bouncing through some scriptures here, catch up. And we'll start tonight in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly." I want to stop there a moment because, let me read on here. "And according as God has dealt to every man," here we go, "the measure of faith." You notice how God gives us the measure of faith? But we think sometimes we have to have this faith, right? Now, again, the scripture talks about we're building our faith, right? There in Romans, it says we, by faith, by the word of God, we grow from faith to faith, right? It's by our increase is through the word. But if we look at the initial measure is given to us by God. So we don't even receive faith of ourselves. It's something that God gives us. Now, I want to look here, too, and I love it how often, if we look at the scripture in order often, we're going to see that God will say something, kind of a pretext moving in. People always take things like, for example, the money's the root of all evil. Well, no, it's the love of money is the root of all evil, right? Because if you look at those people in the Old Testament, whether it's David or Solomon, they had money, right? So if that was the case, then they were in sin. But no, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we take things out of context. Now, if we look at this, there's a reason why I believe the Apostle Paul wrote Romans, but, it's neither here nor there, and it doesn't really matter. But it says here, "By the grace is given unto me that every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now, the Apostle Paul is sitting there saying, you don't need to get all puffed up here, because really, that measure of faith is given to you by God, right? But if you listen to some ministers on TV or tapes or read books, you would think that, again, it's their faith. Sometimes they build it up, or it's something that you need. Of course, we need to have responsibility for our own faith walk, right? There's a God part and there's a man part. And I think sometimes there's a frustration comes in when we cross paths. And we're trying to do God's job and we expect God to do our job, and that's not it. So again, many people have taken the word of faith and they've kind of interpreted to believe that. But we also look at counsel. And so, when we don't want to get to the point in our faith where we don't rely on people. You know, we're always trying to do things ourselves and everything, but we look here and it says not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. I was I was watching some documentaries about some cults. You know, like sometimes during holidays, you're kind of watching some things. And I thought, you know, you kind of get on those binge, you know, sometimes you're watching. I don't really, you know, watch some things, but I kind of caught, there was a few series of about different cults and these cult leaders and things like that. And I got so scared watching this stuff. I thought, man, these people, they get so puffed up and they think of themselves more highly than they ought to. And it's really God that's giving us increase. It's God the one that's giving us these things. And so let's look at, I'm just going to kind of run through some of these scriptures tonight too. And it says, Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in what? In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Right? Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Well, we can look at the multitude of counselors in the Word, right? Out of two or more witnesses, there. So we can look at multiple scriptures in the Bible and get counsel. And then finally, Proverbs 24:6 says, but for the wise counsel, you shall make war. And in the multitude of counselors, what? There is safety. So yeah, I was kind of, you know, looking at watching some of these documentaries about people that kind of got off and in these cults and things like that. I thought, number one, these people did not give God the glory. Yeah. And when we get into error and we think, well, it's our faith, it's our ability, it's what we're doing, it's because we study, it's because we do these things, we can definitely get in error, can't we? And so if we don't give God the glory for everything because it's His mercy, it's His compassion, we can't even have our breath in our lungs without Him. And so everything that we have, everything that we do, we move and have our being in Him. And so we want to give God the glory for everything in our lives. So when we step out and we do, you know, step out and to have faith in some things, we need to give Him glory for that. Mark 16 tonight. If you haven't been around here at all, I love the scripture. Mark 16:15-20. So as we get deeper into some of these scriptures tonight, we probably won't go through everything. We'll have to go on again next week. But you know what? God is working with us. He is working with us. And sometimes it's hard for people to have balance to know that we're going to do our part, but then God is working on our behalf. He is working on our behalf. And so we see here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and it says, and He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, that's something that we do. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes shall not be damned, right? So what does that mean? We need to believe He does the saving. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, I can't create the signs, right? But what is my part? To believe. Again, in my name they shall what? Cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, right? So I got to believe. I need to walk out and lay hands on people. I need to do things, right? But He's the one that does the healing. He does the deliverance. He is the one performing these things. And then 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven, and He sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, and what? Confirming the word with signs following. So they were to go preach, speak the word, and what? He confirmed or backed it up, didn't He? With signs and wonders following. And we get so, too many people get so upset because they think, you know, well, I didn't do this, or I didn't do this, or I didn't receive this, or I didn't receive that, or, you know, I couldn't get this person healed. I don't heal anybody. I've got the freedom where, you know, I do what I can, I'm going to be obedient to God, but it's not, I don't have the ability to heal people. I don't have the ability to save people, right? It was like the, you know, people, you know, we've done street evangelism before, and, you know, you talk to people, it's like, well, we got so many people saved. Well, no, we delivered the message. Jesus showed up. He saved them, right? I'm the messenger. We're the messenger. And I, how many were reading there? Remember in our day three Bible? Remember who we were talking about today? Noah, right? And one of the interesting things in our daily Bible reading was Noah, and it said he did everything God told him to do. Isn't that great? He didn't cause a flood. He didn't save the world from anything. He just did what God told him to do. That's it. That's all he did. That's his responsibility. God's like, your responsibility is to do this. That's all you need to do, right? All we need to do. And so I want to read Mark 16, 15 through 20 out of the Amplified. And it says starting in verse 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel and him whom is set forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and rely on the gospel and him whom it set forth will be condemned, right? Verse 17, and these attesting signs will, it doesn't say may, it will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. And then so the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them and was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen, so be it. So we see here that we are to, again, our faith is to do our things. And again, I always like to say, I get these people over the years, they get confused. They're trying to do God's job instead of doing their job. And that's just to believe. let's look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. And part of understanding the word is knowing God's will, right? I remember, Brother Hagin talking about, part of his knowing God's will. What is his will? I've said this before. We can go afterwards, and I promise I won't talk about food tonight, all right? We get done, we go eat supper, all right? And I can't walk up to someone next to me and say, okay, you go ahead and pay my bill for me. Because first of all, I don't know them, they don't know me, and I have no idea what their will is or their capacity, right? But as I read the word, I can understand what God's will is. I can approach him and whether or not he's going to say yes or no. And there are things in the word we know that he has a heart for, right? It's like my girls, you know, I want them to be fed. I want them to be clothed. I want them to have the best. And that's the same with God. God wants us to have the best. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be sound mind, right? And so we see here in Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night. And what's our job? It's to meditate on the word. It's just get our mind straight. Get rid of the stinking thinking. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then he will make your ways prosperous, and you will have good success. God wants us to be prosperous and have good success, right? What are some things that prosper us and be success? Well, health, right? You know, people, well, you know, God put the sickness and disease on me. No, he doesn't want you to miss work and to get behind on your bills, right? And rack up doctor bills and this and that. He doesn't want those things for us. He wants us to be prospered and be in health. And we see here, 3 John 1:2. We're kind of bouncing all over. Old Testament, and now we're at the end of the New Testament. Third John 1:2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you'll prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Well, what's our soul? Our mind, will, and emotions. Right? But his heart is that we prosper and be in health. He wants us to prosper and to be in health. So many scriptures about the Lord, his you know, throughout the Gospels, healing people, in the epistles, talking about, you know, Apostle Paul talking about healing, you know, Acts 10:38, all of these scriptures about healing. He's wanting to heal us, prosper. I believe that we have to have the start, have to start with the end in sight, right? What's the end in sight? His will. What he wants is, the end result is, I want you to be healed. I want you to be delivered. I want you to be set free. I'm here to help you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And, of course, this is, we're getting to the Lord's Prayer. But, you know, one of the things about the Lord's Prayer is it all comes back to relationship. It all comes back to Him. It all comes back to having an understanding of who He is. And again, what did the Pharisees get upset with Jesus about? Because He called God what? Father. I mean, that just irritated no end. Like, why would you call Him that? And verse 5, it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who loved to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth that this is all the reward that they will get. And I'm going to stop here for a moment because too many people, they believe when we go to prayer that their prayer has to be some eloquent, you know, like it's some inauguration prayer event that I didn't say the right things the right way, the, you know, totally perfect, and like your kids, what do they come to you? They don't say, I need some vegetables. I know I need some protein today. They just say, I'm hungry, right? There's no, you know, my kids, it's like, we don't eat cake for breakfast, okay? I mean, we got to have a little balance here, right? So they don't, you know, especially when they're little, they don't have the vocabulary. They don't, and you just know they're hungry. And again, you know, we see that, well, we'll read here in a minute. Verse 6, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Again, it's relationship, right? It's not based on how can I say these eloquent things. Again, we want to pray according to the Word, but it's not based on how slick my words are. Verse 7, when you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do, and they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. See, that's a lot of religion. What do? They repeat things, they repeat things, they repeat things, they repeat things. And really what's it come down to, it comes down to we're not talking with a person. We're just saying some kind of incantation. We're just making some things up. We're hoping that it's going to happen or it's going to stick, but we're talking with a person who loves us, and it's Father. Verse 8, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask, right? It's kind of like, going back to our daily Bible reading, remember we just read Genesis the other day? And God shows up and He said, you know, why did you hide from me? I mean, God, it wasn't like God was thrown off here. You know what I'm saying? Like, He knew what was going on, but He's kind of like our, you know, when you walk in and the spaghetti's dumped on the floor in the kitchen and you've got, well, it must have been tough as an only child because you got nobody to blame. But, you know, when you got more kids and more siblings, it's like then the fingers can point, you know, right? But you know what happened when you walk in there. You know, okay, there's spaghetti, there's a mess on the floor. I know what happened. I'm asking them so that they'll confess, right? you know, I mean, I may not be a genius, but I can figure out there's spaghetti on the floor there, and there's little people running around, and somebody made a mess. So the Lord knows exactly what we need. He's not thrown off. Oh, we got a gas bill to pay. We got the water bill to pay. Oh, there's this thing coming up. He knows exactly what we need. And then verse 9, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I want to stop here. We're praying that God's plan will be manifest on the earth, right? That's where we're praying, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that will, those things that God is wanting to accomplish, we want to pray that they be manifest here on the earth. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins. And as we forgive those who sin against us, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And then verse 14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So it sounds like a heart issue, right? And that's why, and I don't mind praying for people. I mean, I love praying for people. Talked about it before, you know, Adrian worked at in Tulsa. We worked at a call center for just a short time and pray for people. And then I prayed for people at the ministry too. I was in prayer school and when I was in Bible college there. But, you know, they think that you're going to, if you pray, it's going to be taken care of, right? I mean, if you pray, then, you know, God will hear you and he won't hear me. Well, that's sad, because God wants to hear from us, right? I mean, I thought Jesus was, according to Scripture, you know, our intercessor. We don't need another person to, so we can go directly to him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 9. Actually, let's go to Philippians 2:12, because we might not have time together tonight. Let's go to Philippians 2:12. And while you're turning to Philippians 2:12, I just want to kind of recap what we talked about. You know, Mark chapter 9 last week, when the boy, Jesus approached the boy that was demon-possessed. And and then we see there in, I'm gonna read this, but you can, you know, if you want to read this later, Mark chapter 9, verse 17 through 29. But I love this, because we see here in verse 22 that, you know, Jesus is talking with the boy, you know, kind of, how can I say, interviewing the father there about how long has this happened, what, you know, getting some information there. And then he says, asks Jesus, you know, if he can help. And Jesus comes back and says, what do you mean, if I can, right? And Jesus comes back in verse 23, says, anything is possible if a person believes. And I love this part, because he says, and the father instantly cried out, I do believe, here we go, but help me overcome my unbelief. And, you know, Jesus didn't stop there and said, well, I'm sorry, all the faith's on you. I'm sorry, I can't help you, because it's your responsibility. And of course, we live in a covenant, and there is something that we need to take responsibility for and build our faith in. But it also tells you that Jesus is still, you know, in the business of, and again, this is a little bit different covenant. Jesus operated in the old covenant. But it does tell us that Jesus' heart, he still wants to help us even when we fall short, right? And so, you know, Jesus is still wanting to help us during this faith walk, even when we, you know, like, you know, God, I'm sorry. I'm just not having the, because he knows whether we have faith or not. It's not like we're telling him again anything he doesn't know. And I guarantee you, Jesus could read this guy. But the point is, you know, he's asking for help. Said, you know what? I got faith, but I'm just kind of, I do believe, but I'm just, how many of you just had situations before where you're dealing with things and just your emotions are running wild, you know, and you know things are going crazy, or you get this bad report from the doctor and you're just like, I believe in God, but right now my emotions are just all over the place, you know? Or, you know, a bill comes in or something and you didn't expect, or, you know, what have you, or you know, you I've lost a couple of jobs before, and you just come back and you're like, I believe you, God, but right now I'm just kind of emotional, you know, because how many of you know that when you got a wife and you got little kids, or the situation, and you lose your job, and you're dealing with these emotions, right? You're like, I believe God, but I'm just kind of rattled right now, right? And here we got this guy, his son is demon-possessed, he's going on some emotion, and there's a big crowd, right? That doesn't help when you're dealing with things and it's, you know, really embarrassed. Kind of like, you know, you've been in a restaurant before, and all of a sudden, you know, one of your kids is screaming and throwing a fit, and you're like, Jesus, take the wheel. I mean, the emotions are going all over the place. You're like, help me, Lord, you know? And you got all these people looking at you, and they're giving you the dirty eyes, and I mean, they're just giving you the mean looks and everything. And I believe this guy was in that situation too. He's like, all these people, there's a big crowd, they're looking, all these emotions, like, I believe, but I'm just kind of like rattled right now. And Jesus steps in and takes care of it, right? And we think that we have to have everything perfect in our lives, and we just got to have all this stuff. And if we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus. I'm just telling you right now, right? We don't need God if we've got it all together. He's like, well, packing up, and I'm moving out. I don't need to be here. But we do need him. Because why? Because there's things we don't know what's going on in our lives, and we need help. And he does know everything. He knows the beginning from the end, and we're kind of in the middle, right? And so, skip down here. You had your place there at Philippians 2, 12, thank you. Verse 12 and 13 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Here we go. Work out your own salvation. What? With fear and trembling. So that's our part, right? So we're to work out our salvation. We're not just to sit back, you know, eat bonbons and, you know, watch soap operas and just kind of throw everything in neutral, but we're supposed to walk out our faith with fear and trembling. And it says here, for it is God which works what? In you, both to will and to do his good pleasure, right? So as we're walking out our walk with him, we're not in this alone, but he's working in us, not only to will, but he's do his good pleasure. So he's, as we're walking out our salvation, he's working with us, he's working in us, so that our desire is to be closer to him, and he's going to work things out, right? But we think we got to have all the answers together, and I just, you know, well, I haven't walked on water. Well, I haven't walked on water either, so join the club, right? So the Lord is actively working in us, working things out while we're walking out our salvation. It's a process, right? I always just listen to, like, you know, Kenneth Hagin or Oral Roberts and everything, and I'm like, man, that is so incredible. Am I ever going to, I don't even know if I, you know, you just kind of, right? That's them. You're you, and I'm me, right? We're all on, you know, God's will for you is different. We're all different. And the Bible talks about it's not wise to compare. Jeremiah 29:10. I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation. Y'all forgive me. It's a joke. I like King James, but, you know, we like other translations too, I guess. And Jeremiah 29:10 says, this is what the Lord says. Now, I want to preface for a minute. Now, the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah. He's speaking to Jeremiah, and he's giving something prophetic in the future about what's going to happen, okay? But I think we can take from this tonight and look at some things. And it's in verse 10, it says, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But that doesn't sound good, right? And most people would say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, right? I mean, you come back and say, I don't want to hear that. That's bad news, right? Now he goes on here and he pauses. He says, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. And I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. See, we take that part and we see the, I know the plans for you, says the Lord. The plans are for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, in those days when you pray, I will listen. I bet you the people in Egypt at that time, during those 400 years of bondage, I bet they felt like God wasn't listening, right? But what does the Lord say to Jeremiah? He's like, wait a minute here. Okay, I know you've been through the bondage in Egypt, okay? But I'm telling you what, this is going to happen. But guess what? It's going to be good on the other end. And then what's he say here? And he says, the plans are good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. Now, again, the Lord is telling the Israelites, the Hebrews here, that there's going to be a 70 years time span where you're going to be in Babylon. But he hasn't forgotten, right? What's he saying? He's like, you're going to see some bad times, but I love you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to get you through it. At the end of it, it's going to be good, right? Why does that, you know? Sometimes we experience setbacks. I want to say this, but the Lord has a plan, and his plan is good, right? There are things that I went through in the past, I think we all have. We can all probably sit back and go, okay, there's some things there in my life, and this is what happens. There's things in my life that I look back, and it's been like discouraging and heartbreaking and things like that too, and I'm thinking, I learned so much through that, right? I mean, we've been talking about Joseph the last, what, month or so. And, you know, here's Joseph, you know, went through a lot of terrible things. And, you know, most people would give up in year two or one or like day two, you know, give up. I give up. And, you know, he went through all those years and God blessed him at the end, right? What happened? He gave him a vision at the beginning and said, you know what, there's going to be some great things happen. And then he kind of didn't have a lot of wisdom and told his brothers that didn't like him. Whether that was right or wrong, I don't know. But at the end of it, he ended up delivering many people, but he had to go through some bad stuff. You know, we can sit back, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus and blah, blah, blah. And like, well, maybe that's actually part of the plan, you know? And we, you know, I would just say this, if Jesus went through junk, we're going to go through junk, right? If he's going to experience, he said, they're going to hate you because they hate me. Okay, I don't want that, Jesus. Thank you. I want plan B. I want the easy button, right? Where do I find the easy button, Jesus? There is no easy button. Romans 8:28. We'll end here in a few minutes. Romans 8:28. We'll do verse 28 and 31 here. And it says, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. See, we can get discouraged sometimes and say, nothing's happening. It's not happening the way I want to. You know, what's going on here? And it didn't say everything's going to be easy peasy, but it said all things will work together for the good of those that love God, right? So it means things are going to work out for those who love God. In verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? God before us, what? Who can be against us, right? We need help in our faith because the circumstances are discouraging. But God's word and God is there to help us get through no matter what it is we're going through, right? And again, too many times we're thinking that, well, it's not happening because, well, we don't have enough faith, right? I mean, can you imagine, you know, Joseph back in the day, sitting there, oh, what happened? You know, and again, there are things that we see in the Bible, sin and disobedience, you know, that can train ruckus, and there's bad things that can happen. Sometimes nowadays we're sitting there and you know, like with Joseph, and, you know, he was thrown in the pit, and then he was eventually, you know, sold off and everything else too. And can you imagine sitting there all the time and, you know, like, you know, what did I do? And it's always good to reflect on some things and say, did I miss it, God? Did I do these things? But, you know, sometimes we just didn't miss it. Sometimes we're just going through junk, right? And we're getting from point A to point B, and sometimes between point A and point B, it's kind of bumpy. It's uncomfortable. But that's why the Bible says count it all joy, right? When we fall into diverse temptations, it ain't easy, right? I mean, you know, I just remember my capacity being, you know, 16, which is what, just like 4 or 5 years ago. Right? Yeah, okay. You know, or my capacity when I graduated high school or whatever, that, you know, when I got out of high school, like, my capacity was so limited. But you know what expanded my capacity? Iron sharpened iron, right? Adversity, you know, going through things. Having persecution. People don't, you know, well, I don't agree with that, or, you know, whatever it is. Well, bless you. You know, the word's a word. I didn't write it. I just plagiarize it. That's it. I just copy it. So again, the Lord gives us measure of faith. That's good. He gives us a measure of faith. And he is working with us on our behalf, and we need to do our part, right? But we can't heal ourselves. We can't, you know, save ourselves. We can't deliver ourselves. But we need to believe that the Lord is working with us, and our faith is in a person. Our faith, we believe in a person. We believe in a person. Not a movement or a doctrine, which those things can be good. Not a denomination, but a person, Jesus. He's the one that delivers us. And so, again, I believe that and this is something I see that a lot of Christians, we do, and I've done it. I mean, I missed the mark a lot, you know, when I've growing up on these things, and I'm still, you know, we're all growing faith to faith. We're all, you know, when you look at the early church in the book of Acts, I mean, you see people that walk with Jesus on a daily basis, and you're like, okay, well, you know, when Judas died, and then what are they doing in the book of Acts? They're casting lots. And they're like drawing straws, like, man, let's see who gets the longest straw to be the next apostle. You're like, that's not how this works, right? I mean, they're just kind of doing goofy stuff, you know, in the Bible, and you're thinking, these people walk with Jesus all this time, you know, over 3 years, and they're kind of doing goofy stuff. Why? Because now they're on their own, and they got to be led by the Holy Spirit, and they got to work out some things, right? And that's where we see even them, even the Gentiles, like, I'm a Gentile, and, you know, I'm not a Jew. And, you know, it took them a while to figure out that, hey, everybody can be saved. I mean, you thought, okay, these guys should have probably known this, you know, when they're walking with Jesus, right? They didn't know this stuff. You know, and you're thinking, these people walk with Jesus and they're still figuring things out. I haven't walked with Jesus in the flesh. Okay, I wasn't there. None of us were there at the time. But if we look back now, we're sitting there thinking to ourselves, you know what? We're still developing and working things out with Jesus. So we try to do it in our ability. That's when I believe discouragement and depression, and we lose hope, and many people give up the faith, is because we're not focused on him, but we're trying to do things ourselves, right? So again, the Lord's plan for us is good, and he's working on our behalf. And I believe that we need to focus on those things in the year 2026, amen? And beyond, not just 2026, right? Well, 2026 is over, I'm going to give this up. Nope, I'm not a real, some people are, New Year's resolution people, you know. I'm just like, I want to try to be consistent every day with something, right? You know, I'm going to climb Mount Everest in the month of January. You know, I'm not that guy. But, you know, those things are good. And like I said before, I wish I owned a gym and I could sell memberships in the month, you know, like in December and January. And that'd be sweet after that because, you know, then I'll just work for like a month, you know, and have all those subscriptions. And then when everybody's ready to get, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for these people. And Jesus, we give you the glory and the honor tonight for everything that you continue to do. You're actually working on our behalf, Lord. You're interested in us. You love us. You give us. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor. And we just thank you tonight that we can call on your name, Jesus, and we can be saved, Lord God. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we call on you, that, Lord, you're there, you hear us, and we glorify you in the name of Jesus, everybody said. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, hope your New Year's going well. Keep up with your Bible reading and have a great week. Yeah.